Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you are the God who is present with us. Thank you that you are the God who has created us and created us to be people who work and people who rest. And as we think this morning about what it means to rest and how we can build Sabbath rest into our lives, please be leading us by your Spirit and help us together as a community as we share ideas and encourage one another in this. We pray that Sabbath would not be a burden for any of us, but a blessing, something that brings life and wholeness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just a quick recap. Week one of this series, we were thinking about work, and particularly the dignity of work, the fact that all kinds of work are important, have dignity, because they're ways in which we can partner with God in caring for the creation, particularly helping other people to thrive and flourish, ways that we can love our neighbor. I mean, I think that in itself would transform the way that many of us think about our work, just to think, how in what I do and the people that I engage with can I show love to my neighbor? I recommended this book, Tim Keller's Every Good Endeavor. It's the best that I've found. I'm sure that there are other books talking about work and getting us to think through a kind of Christian approach to the different jobs that we do. But that is great. Why not get hold of it? There's a study guide that I put out through the email that you could work through with your DNA group or another group of friends. I reckon that'll be a great thing to do. It was encouraging for me reading the responses to the survey that I put out on work and rest. Thanks for those who responded, and particularly to see the ways you had thought about your jobs and how they were ways to express love for neighbor, care for the world. That was great. I don't know if that was helpful for you to kind of be forced to think that through and put stuff down on paper or screen, but it was encouraging for me, and it'd be great to keep thinking about that and talking about that together. Last week, so the first week was work is important. Last week was kind of, well, what happens when work becomes too important and becomes the thing that defines us? And we thought about this concept of Sabbath and the fact that kind of at its heart, Sabbath isn't just a practice or a discipline or a duty. At its heart, Sabbath is about finding deep rest for our souls. Rest from the work under the work. You know, not just taking time off your job, but getting rest from that, what was that article? That eternal inner murmur. That need that we all have within us to kind of prove ourselves, to justify ourselves, to find our sense of worth and value in what we achieve and the work that we do. And we need rest from that. You know, no amount of holidays or days off are going to give us that. We only find it when we come to Jesus, the one who said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, and I'll give you rest for your souls," that deep soul rest that we need. So Sabbath rest at its heart is found in the gospel, coming to Jesus so that we can rest from that need to prove ourselves. We can know that everything that needs to be done has been done by Jesus. He's lived the perfect life we could never live. He's died the death to pay for our failures so that we can stand before God justified and know that he has accepted us and adopted us, that he loves us, he's well pleased. That was last week, kind of theology, gospel theology behind Sabbath. Today we're going to get into a bit more of the practicalities, like how do we practice Sabbath? How do we actually build healthy Sabbath rest into our lives? If you've got access to a Bible, turn to Exodus 20. We're going to look at a few passages briefly today. Exodus 20 is where Moses outlines the Ten Commandments. These are the Ten Commandments that God wrote on tablets of stone for his people. And what's interesting in these Ten Commandments, as you look at them, the longest commandment is the Sabbath command. And 36% of the text and the Ten Commandments is given over to this command about the Sabbath. So let me read from verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Just a few quick points from Exodus 20. The word Sabbath literally means to, it's a verb, and it means to cease or to rest. And so the command here to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy is particularly a command to rest from your labor. For many of the people hearing this for the first time, their labor would have been out in the fields, a gregarian society, and so they were to rest from that work out in the fields, not to do any work. And they're not allowed to fudge it. They're not allowed to say, well, I'm resting, but my kids are going to do all the work. They're not even allowed to kind of hitch up their donkey and get, you know, make the donkey tread out the grain for the 24 hours of the Sabbath. No, everyone is to rest. There's to be no work on the Sabbath day. But it's not just a rest from labor, it's a rest in the Lord. And that's what the title of this sermon is. Sabbath is about resting in the Lord. The Sabbath is a day to the Lord. It's a day to keep holy, a day that's special for the Lord. It's about resting in God's love, not your labor. It's about enjoying God, celebrating him, remembering him. We're going to work through some questions, some of which were raised through the survey. I'm not going to get to all of them, but hopefully this will be helpful. Firstly, it's worth thinking, is the Sabbath a command for Christians, as it was for the people in the Old Testament? Are we bound to keep the Sabbath day? First, it's worth saying, the Sabbath for the Old Testament people of God was Saturday, or at least it was from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, 24 hours. That was the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Now, Christians historically and traditionally have kept Sabbath on Sunday. It's kind of transferred from Saturday to Sunday simply because Sunday was the day the Lord of the Sabbath rose from the dead. And so for Christians, Sunday has become the special day, the day to mark at the start of the week. Not the seventh day anymore, but the first day of the week. But is it a command? Is it something that we kind of have to do? Turn to Romans and chapter 14. And when someone finds a page, can you shout it out? Romans 14. Anyone got a page number? 1763. Thanks, Maddox. 1763, Romans 14 and verse 5, Paul says this: one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone. None of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seats. So Paul is saying, it seems there's some disagreement. Some people are saying one day is special. Others are saying all days are alike. And what does he say? Each one should be fully convinced in their own mind. Paul is saying it's a matter of conscience. This isn't something in which we lay down law. This is something that we need to be fully convinced in our own mind and act according to our conscience. Now, notice, it seems to me that the difference is not that one person says, one day is special, I'm going to keep that special, and another person says, nah, no days are special, just going to do what I like. It seems rather one person considers one day more sacred than the others. The other person considers all days equally sacred, equally holy. And notice that whatever you decide, you're to do so to the Lord. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. If we live, we live for the Lord. So whatever decision you make, it's a matter of conscience, but as we make that decision of conscience, we're to do so to the Lord. Make that decision for the Lord. You know, you don't make a decision that all days are going to be work days for you because you want to earn more money. Make whatever decision you make about days and whether one is special or how you spend your time, make those decisions before the Lord, knowing that you're going to give an account to the Lord for how you use your time. Now, the majority view amongst Christians, there is disagreement, and some Christians would say Sabbath is still a command that we're bound to keep. I remember a lecturer at Bible College having this view and saying to him, what if we don't keep Sabbath? Because I wasn't at the time. He said, well, God will forgive you in the same way as he would forgive someone who murders. I was like, wow, okay, that's pretty serious. The majority view is that keeping Sabbath is not a command for Christians. It's not a law that we are bound to keep. And so is it sinful if we don't practice Sabbath? No. Not necessarily. As with everything, it depends on our heart motivation. In itself, no, it's not sinful. You don't have to do it. It's not a law for Christians. But, sadly, that is where I left it for most of my Christian life. I saw Sabbath as a duty that I'm free from now. I don't have to do it. And so I didn't give any thought to kind of healthy patterns of rest and Sabbath in my life. What we need to realize, I think, and I think this came out in some of the responses to the survey, what we need to realize is Sabbath is a good thing. It's not a duty. Yes, the Pharisees in Jesus' day had made it a duty by adding all these kind of additional requirements on people. All these things you're not allowed to do on the Sabbath day. But at its heart, God's intention for the Sabbath is that it would be a blessing for his people. Guys, it's a day off. It's a day of rest. It's a day to rejoice in the Lord. It's a good thing, a gift. So, turn back to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. There aren't too many more cross-references. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Someone got a page number? 1154. 1155. Isaiah 58, verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words. Now, if you stopped there, you would see Sabbath as this kind of restrictive thing. It's a day to not have fun and not pursue your own pleasure and not go your own way. But if you read on, this is actually what God says. If you keep the Sabbath, then, verse 14, you will find joy in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." See, God's intention for the Sabbath is that it would be for our joy, that we would find joy in the Lord, that we would delight in him, and that we'd have prosperity as a result. And so, is Sabbath something that we're bound to keep? No, it's not a law for Christians, but it seems to me it's a good spiritual discipline. Maybe, I don't know if this is right, but maybe it's helpful to think of it like Bible reading. You know, do you have to read your Bible? Well, there's no law for Christians that you have to, but if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're someone who loves God, you're going to want to spend time in his words to hear from him. It seems to me Sabbath is a similar thing. It's a spiritual discipline for our good. If we love the Lord, we'll want to rest in him. We'll want to take time, set aside time in the week to enjoy him, to delight in him, to celebrate all that he's done. So maybe there needs to be a shift in our thinking about Sabbath. It's not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. It's good for us. It's a blessing. What is Sabbath all about? Here's a bit of a revision from last week. Firstly, Sabbath is an act of trust. It's a way of acknowledging that we are creatures. Work and rest are part of what it means to be humans, made in God's image. And it seems that God has built into creation and into humanity this pattern of work and rest. We're not people who can just keep on working nonstop. We need to rest. It's part of what it means to be human, to be created. And so if you don't take time off from your work, you're denying the fact that you are a creature. You're going to make yourself sick. You know, it's not sinful, it's just really stupid. We live in a 24/7 world. You know, whatever you want to do, just go do it. No limits. Sabbath is a way of kind of bringing limits into your life and saying, actually, we can't just do whatever we want and keep going. We need limits. It's healthy for us to build rest. Even the land was given rest. You know, the sabbatical laws for the people in the Old Testament were that they could plow and reap and harvest 6 years. On the seventh year, the land was to rest. Just let whatever comes up, come up. Give it time to rest and then work again. So built into creation is this need for rest, and we're foolish if we ignore it. Keeping Sabbath is an act of trust. It's a way of saying, I'm not God. My life is not in my control. The success of my work is not ultimately in my hands. In taking a day of rest, I trust God with my work. Secondly, Sabbath is a declaration of freedom. We don't need to prove ourselves. In Deuteronomy, as we saw last week, where the Ten Commandments are listed again, the Sabbath command is linked to God's rescue of his people from slavery. Keeping Sabbath is a way of remembering that we're not slaves. If you're a slave, you don't get a day off. And if you can't take a day off, if you can't say no, and you just need to keep going, you're a slave. A slave to your own need to prove yourself, or a slave to your family's expectations, or a slave to your boss's demands. Taking a day off, practicing Sabbath, is a way of saying, I'm not a slave. I don't need to prove myself. Everything that needs to be done has been done. It's a way of reminding myself I'm a child of God, and I'm loved, and he's pleased with me. The one person in the universe whose opinion matters says of me, it's good. Ben is my child, I love him, and I'm well pleased. And there's nothing more that needs to be done. Remember, Jesus said from the cross, it's finished. So we don't need to prove ourselves. We don't need to justify our existence. We don't need to keep going. We can rest. We can rest in what Jesus has done. Thirdly, Sabbath is a day for worship. We rest in the Lord. As we saw in Exodus 20, Sabbath is a day to keep holy. It's a day to the Lord, for the Lord. A day to focus our attention on him, to remember and celebrate what he has done in creation and in redemption. And so I take it, you know, healthy practice on Sabbath would be to give thanks for God's work of creation. To take time to open your eyes to this amazing world that God has made. To give time to give thanks for all the good gifts that we enjoy, as that podcast got us to do, just to give thanks for every breath that is a gift of God's grace. To give thanks for our health, for our families, for our homes, for all the blessings of this life. And it's a day to remember God's work in salvation, to give thanks for Jesus, for his life and death and resurrection, to give thanks that the work is done and we're justified and we're adopted and we're loved, to give thanks that God is our Father, to remember that we're not the ones who keep the world spinning and we're not the ones who have to save ourselves or the world. Jesus has already done that. So Sabbath is a day to worship God, to rest in him, to celebrate his work. And so if you don't keep Sabbath, if you see it as a burden, if you focus on all the other things you'd prefer to be doing rather than worshiping God, then maybe it shows you don't treasure God as you should. Maybe you need to pray that God will change your heart so that he becomes your joy and delight. So three things there about what Sabbath is. It's an act of trust, a declaration of freedom. It's a day for worship. Let's get practical. How do you do it? How do you actually kind of build Sabbath into your life? I'm going to share some thoughts. As I said last week, this is something I've not been very good at, and so I'm learning. It's been great receiving some of your thoughts, and we'll have an opportunity to share. Let me just share a few things that have been helpful for me. Firstly, you've got to be intentional with it. Sabbath isn't something that's just going to happen. You've got to be intentional. You've got to plan for it. Sabbath, as I said, is a verb, and so it's something we do. It's something we need to practice and train ourselves in. It is about resting from your work. Now, what is that? What is work and how do you rest from it? The most helpful thing I've heard, just for yourself, you need to work out what work is. You know, what do you consider work? And then don't do it. There are obviously different kinds of work. There's our paid work, there's work at home, all sorts of different kinds of work. Some of that might be refreshing for you. Gardening might be something that is life-giving. Go ahead, do it. But you know, washing up might be a real burden and a chore, so maybe try and arrange things so that you have a day where you don't need to do any washing up. You know, eat off paper plates, recycle them. What about mums? It's tricky, isn't it? You know, you can't really say to your baby, all right, you sit over there, I'm going to take a day off. I take it for mums, you don't see all your time with your kids as work, at least not a real burden. I hope at least they're a joy and delight for you. But maybe there are some aspects of mothering, parenting, which are burdens. So maybe you can try and organize things so that on one day a week, you don't do the shopping, you don't do any cleaning, you don't need to cook because you've prepared things in advance or someone else does that, or you eat out on that day. Maybe you don't do laundry. You may not be able to do this perfectly, especially when you're a mum of young kids, but it's worth trying to think that through, trying to build some rest from those parenting chores. Up on the screen, Tim Keller suggests three things that are worth trying to build into your Sabbath. He talks about devotional, avocational, that was a word I had to look up, and inactive. Basically, what it means is you need to have worship as part of your Sabbath. Avocational means you need to kind of have some activity that is different to your normal work. And inactive means inactive. So worship. Now, as I said, for most Christians through the years, Sunday has been the day they've set aside for Sabbath rest. It doesn't have to be Sunday, but maybe it makes sense. Certainly, you know, as we gather together on Sunday mornings, this is can be part of our Sabbath worship. We come together, we worship God together, we're reminded of the gospel, we're refreshed in our souls, and then maybe the rest of the day you think about ways to down tools to rest individually or as a family. If maybe you don't practice Sabbath on Sunday and you want to Sabbath on another day, but you want to build worship into that day. Some of you said engaging with God doesn't feel restful. And I get that. Like, it can feel like hard work. So maybe think about different ways of engaging with God. Like that podcast demonstrated, it doesn't have to be head down, hard work, study. Maybe engage with God, engage with the scriptures in a way that is more devotional, that is more contemplative. You need to think about how your soul gets refreshed and build that into your Sabbath rest. It's more than vegging out. Sabbath rest means resting in the Lord, not just lying on the couch, binging on Netflix. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not Sabbath rest. That may be, that could be part of it. It might be refreshing in some way, but you need to build in some soul refreshment as well. Yeah? Okay, secondly, avocational. Some recreational activity that is different to your work. If your job is fishing, then you probably don't want to go fishing on your day off. But if you work in an office, then fishing may be something refreshing. Personally, I cannot understand it, but that may be your bag. Some people like gardening or playing golf. If you're a professional gardener or golfer, you probably want to do something else. If you sit at a desk all week in an office, you probably want to get out on Sabbath and, you know, do something active. Go for a walk, go for a bike ride, build up a sweat. Maybe not too much of a sweat. You don't want to completely exhaust yourself. Walk along the beach. If you work with your hands, if you're out kind of toiling all week long, you probably just want to sit down, have a nap. What is going to refresh you physically? What are the activities that are going to refresh you physically and do that? You need refreshment for your soul and for your body, for your mind. And thirdly, inactivity. This was a new one for me, but Keller advises that you have some time that is completely unstructured. Where there's no plans, where you just let whatever comes up, come up. Like the land. And just see what happens. There you go. Three things from Keller. I'm going to read to you from another book that's been helpful, written by John Mark Comer. It's called Garden City. It's about work and rest and the art of being human. I'm going to read you what he does in his family. Now, this is not to be prescriptive, but may be helpful to get some ideas. He says, the Sabbath is more of an art form than a list of do's and don'ts. Yes, there are rules. Some rules are healthy. Drive on the right side of the road is a great rule, unless you're in England. He doesn't say Australia, but that as well. He's from America. Don't play with fire is another great rule. Some rules are life-giving. So on the Sabbath in my family, we have rules. We do sleep in. We do relax. We spend time in the scriptures. We pray. We eat our way through the day. We enjoy nature. We spend time with close friends and family. And we don't buy or sell, except for food, because we love to go out for brunch or ice cream. We don't touch our email. We don't post anything on social media because our phones are off. We don't run errands or catch up around the house. We don't talk about stuff that's heavy or sad or divisive. There are six other days in the week for that. We don't talk about stuff we need to get done. We rest from even the thought of work. But these rules aren't suffocating or rigid. They're pliable and limber and spacious. They're the rules of a craft, a discipline, an art form. Maybe this Sabbath conversation is all new for you. I hope and pray that after reading this book, you start to Sabbath. It honestly changed my life, and I think it has the potential to do the same for you. But just to give you a heads up, it might be a little rough at first. It might feel odd, weird, even frustrating. And he goes on later and describes in more detail what the day actually looks like, and it's really attractive. So you might want to get hold of that book, Garden City. I take from that and other places, your Sabbath rest doesn't need to be something you do alone. It can be time with friends, if that is refreshing for you. But maybe you need to think through, if you're an introvert, you probably want to limit time with friends. You probably need a bit of time to yourself. It can include doing fun things. One person in their survey said, you know, how can you do Sabbath without it being lonely and boring? You're allowed to do fun stuff. You know, if you want to go gardening or play golf or fishing even, then go for it. And do that with other people. It doesn't have to be Sunday. But I think it should be kind of 24 consecutive hours if possible. I think just having that prolonged rest is significant. It actually does something for us physically, spiritually, that is more beneficial than, you know, eight slots of 3 hours through the week. As well as that kind of idea of a weekly Sabbath rest, we need to find healthy balance of work and rest throughout the week on a daily basis. You know, you could say, I'm going to work 16 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then I'll do Sabbath. You're probably going to destroy yourself if you do that, and your Sabbath is just going to be completely crashed out. So, as well as that kind of weekly healthy rhythm, we need to think about a daily healthy rhythm of rest. Sleep. Sleep, like Sabbath, is an act of trust, isn't it? You know, to go to bed, to actually leave your work and go to sleep is an act of trust to say, I don't need to work every hour of the day. I can rest because I have a Father who loves me and provides for me, and I can trust him. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, look at the birds. He's talking about worry. He says, don't worry. Don't be kind of anxiously running around all over the place. Look at the birds. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? There's a little poem that picks up those ideas. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. You know, if we can't rest, whether it's weekly or daily, are we forgetting we have a Father who cares for us? You know, getting the sleep you need is an act of trust. And maybe as well as sleep, you need to think about evenings. So you may finish work at 5:30 and go home, but if you're constantly checking your phone and replying to work emails, well, you're not really resting from that. Can you really down tools and be present at home with your family, with your friends? We need daily rest as we need weekly rest. We also need daily worship as we need weekly worship. And again, I see that as an act of faith. For me, every morning I get up and there's 101 things to do. The temptation is to just get into my to-do list, to actually stop and make time to pray, to read the scriptures, to worship God is an act of faith, to say, actually, I need this more than I need to get into my work. I need to refresh my soul in the gospel and remember that I have a Father in heaven who loves me. Maybe, here's an idea, maybe let Sabbath worship kind of seep into the rest of the week. And so rather than trying to dig into some other portion of scripture on a daily basis, why not just reflect on whatever passage of scripture we're looking at on a Sunday? Just read it again, maybe pick out a verse to memorize, maybe talk it through with your DNA group or other friends. Look up cross-references. Yeah, why not just sit in that one passage through the week? Just an idea. Other patterns of rest, daily, weekly, maybe monthly. You want to try and get away for a day. Take a day off work. Get away on a Saturday, drive up to the hills, and just have a kind of monthly day to reflect on the month that's been, to give that time to the Lord. Maybe annually, might have holiday. This is something I've thought about as a church community, that maybe we need to have a month in the year that it's just quieter. And kind of, not that we have lots of programs, but things just kind of shut down or run at a quieter pace. January is an obvious time for that. Maybe in your GC, you might think about how you can build that into the rhythms of seasons of the year. Finally, I know I've been talking a lot. Finally, how do you do it all? A number of people ask that question. Just tell me how to do it. How do I kind of balance all these requirements? It's easy for, you know, all this talk of rest to feel like a burden. It's just another thing to fulfill in our week. I think the most helpful book I've found on this is this colorful book by Matt Fuller, who I used to work with in London. He's written a book called Time for Everything. And his approach is quite helpful. You may have heard people talk about setting priorities, that in your life you need to kind of put things in priority. So God, spouse, family, church, work, you know, whatever order you put your priorities in. He says he's not sure that's so helpful. And yes, God does need to come first, but in terms of all the rest, it's not clear that Scripture kind of gives us that order of priorities. So what he does is talk about different areas of responsibility that we have in life, and then thinking about each area being faithful. And in each area, there's a ceiling and a floor. There's a kind of upper limit above which that thing is becoming too important. You know, you're idolizing that thing. And the floor is the line kind of below which you're neglecting your responsibility in that area. And then in between, well, there's freedom. And we'll work things out differently. So someone who's married with kids and a job and involved in church will have the same areas of responsibility, but, you know, in freedom, how they fulfill those responsibilities, how they're faithful, will look differently. And so it's worth thinking about our different areas of responsibility. Am I being faithful? Am I neglecting this area? Or am I actually making this too important? And one of the signs that one thing has become too important is that you end up neglecting others. Now, there will be periods when the balance shifts. There may be even be periods when, you know, you're kind of pushing the ceiling. Maybe you have to overwork because you're preparing for your medical exams, or you're starting up a small business, or you're a new mum and, you know, it's just going to be crazy. There will be periods of that. Don't beat yourself up about that, but do keep yourself accountable so that that overwork doesn't become the new normal. You know, tell someone, look, I reckon the next year is going to be pretty hectic at work, but I don't want that to become the new normal? Will you ask me in a year's time, what's going on, and am I doing what I need to do to kind of redress the balance? There might be times when you need to say, for a season, I'm going to step back from church commitments. That's what Corinne and I have done recently. And let me say, that is fine. If that's where you're at, please don't feel guilty about doing that. If that's what you need to do in order to be faithful in other areas of responsibility. But again, keep yourself accountable. How long's that season going to be for? You don't want to step back from ministry indefinitely. So how long do you need? 6 months away from whatever your responsibility is. And then we can check in again after that time. There might be a season of increased ministry in the church. Maybe your GC takes on a project of caring for a particular family in need. Again, be accountable. Check up on each other to make sure you're not getting burned out through doing that and you're kind of compensating for it. If those seasons of imbalance continue for a long time, you might need to ask some serious questions. If it's not just a season, but actually it's kind of just continuing indefinitely. You might need to ask serious questions. If your work means you're continually neglecting to give time to your family or your own relationship with God, or you're not able to be fully engaged in a gospel community, it might be time to consider a different job or at least a different working pattern. There's a lot of ideas I've landed on you. Let me say, this is something I guess we probably all need to work at. It's not something I've been great at. I'm growing in it. Let's not do the thing where we say, it's just too hard, I can't do it perfectly, and we give up. Let's keep working at it, like those other spiritual disciplines. Let's encourage one another, share with one another, learn from one another, and seek to grow in a healthy practice of Sabbath rest.